from God our Father and our Mother and our Lord Jesus Christ. May that grace and peace surround all that I say and all that you hear this morning. Such a privilege and joy to be here in your church. I was here two or three weeks ago, and it was a wonderful morning. And my goodness, the music and the spirit here. So glad to be here. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. Everything I'm going to tell you today is true. I mean, factual. But I don't know if it'll be true for you. One of my friends, Kathy Weaver, is a disciple of Christ Minister, and she starts her service every Sunday by saying, God loves you, and so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it. And she said that once, and then she didn't say it the next Sunday, and her people came up and said, you didn't say that thing today. God loves you, so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, it's one thing to know that God loves you. And hopefully, and as I think you do here in this church, you know that God loves you deeply. But it's another thing to let God love you as much as God wants to. Back when my late wife and I were in our early marriage, I was getting to know her family. And there were two grandmothers who were really special to her. One was named Murr and the other Nanny Lee. So for the first couple of Christmases, I tried to pick a present from me to each one of them. But I'm going to talk about Nanny Lee this morning. I tried to think about who she was and what she might really enjoy. And I bought a special gift for her. And when we get together at Christmas, I would give it to her, and she would open it, and she would say, oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, this is way too much for me. I don't deserve this. You know, after a couple of Christmases, I thought, I'm not putting any more energy into this. Now, if I'd have been more mature, I wouldn't have thought that. But that's what I thought. She didn't feel worthy from any of us to give her a gift. She wasn't letting us love her. Somewhere along the way, I trained in marriage enrichment. And as a couple, we were at a marriage enrichment training event. And one of the things that they had us do one morning, or one lunch, they had laid out some finger food, the leaders had. And they said, okay, here's what you're going to do. We invite you. Choose who's going to go first, and you're going to go get your spouse a plate of finger food, and the other one of you is going to put on the blindfold, and you're going to come back, and you're going to feed them their lunch, and they'll be blindfolded. Well, this one couple, the man went and came back and fed his wife, and then he put the blindfold on, and she went to get him his food, and he could not keep the blindfold on. He could not trust her to feed him gently or right. This is a factual story. 6 months later, that man had a stroke. Guess who had to feed him? And a lot of other things. So Nanny Lee, she didn't feel worthy to get that love. And this guy couldn't let go of control to receive that love. So I'm wondering where you might be with God this morning. Do you let God pour God's gifts into you and really take them? Do you get your unworthiness settled so that you know that God gives you gifts because God loves you so deeply? And you let God do that? And all you need do is say, thanks, I needed that. Or can you let go of control long enough to let God love you in ways that you might not have put on your list, in ways that you might not have thought, but to let God come close to you. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And our scripture from John gives us three things, I think, to think about in that regard of letting God love us. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says to them, "I've loved you the way my Father has loved me." I mean, think of that. "Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose," and this is what was already read to you, "that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command." So when he uses the word command, this is what he means. Love one another the way I love you. That's it. "This is the very best way to love. You are my friends when you do things that I've told you to do. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything that I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember. I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. Whatever you ask the Father in relationship to me, he will give you." Thank you, John, for writing those words for us. Let God love you. The first thing that Jesus said about that is, make yourself at home in my love. How do you do that? Did you see that awesome quilt I had out for the kids? Somebody might want to help me have one end. This is my t-shirt and other quilt that someone at St. Luke's Methodist made for me. I preached a sermon about putting on God's love, and I said, "Boy, someday I'd like to have a quilt with all my favorite moments on it." And they came up and said, "We can quilt that," and here it is. So thank you. So make yourself at home in my love. I tell you, it's almost winter. I've got a fireplace. And I wrap myself in these moments, championship football moment, high wire learning moments, all kinds of moments, music moments, golf moments. And I wrap myself in this and I think, wow, I'm a lucky man. Thank you, God, for these moments. So maybe that's something that you could do, to wrap yourself in God's love. I have a friend who has Parkinson's. His name is Jim. And I was in Boston with him in July. And I said to him, I said, "Jim, how do you think of God when you pray these days?" And he said, "Well, I need a big God these days. So I think of a mountain," and he named a mountain in Massachusetts, a mountain I grew up by. And he said, "Sometimes I have to go just to pictures of the cosmos because I need a God that's really big now, because I'm dealing with a really big thing." And he wraps himself in God's love as he looks at that mountain or he thinks of the cosmos. Here's one way that a French spiritual director named Abbe de Tourville said it to somebody in the 1700s. This lady was having a hard time letting God love her, and so he gave her a little chant to say. So I'm going to ask you to chant it with me. This is a 1700s French chant. We can all go home cultured today. So he said to her, "Say to yourself very often about everything that happens." So here we go. God loves me.
God loves me.
What a joy.
What a joy.
And I love God too. Wrap yourself, make yourself at home in God's love. And then Abby said, then go quite simply about all you have to do and do not philosophize anymore. For these two phrases are beyond all thought and do more for us than any thought could do. They are all sufficing. So Jesus said, make yourself at home in God's love. That's letting God love you. You may have your own way of doing that. I'm just mentioning some ones that are special to me. And then he said, you know, this part of this friendship stuff is that I have let you in on everything that God has told me. Let me rephrase that. I have included you in the intimacy that God and I share. The deep oneness, the deep connection, the deep love that we have, I've included you in that. So, one way to let yourself be loved by God is to tell God who you are. Did you ever think of that? My father, who's been gone for a while, he never talked about his life. All I know about my father is what my mother told me. And all my mother knew, she learned from his father. Because he never talked about himself. Well, he talked about the Dallas Cowboys and things like that. But I don't know anything about him from him. But Jesus is saying, I'm telling you what it's like. What God is like and what I'm like. Somebody asked me one time when, it doesn't matter what the date is because I can't remember. But somebody asked me one time, how's your wife doing? She was battling cancer at the time. And I said, fine. Later in the day, I thought, you know, I don't really know how she's doing. Even if I'd wanted to answer that question, and I guess that particular person was not one I wanted to give details to, I didn't have the answer to that. How's she doing? So I thought, okay, well, what would I need to know about my wife or anybody in order to say I know how they're doing? And I sat down and I wrote these things. Here's my list of what I think I need to know you. And vice versa. What's the high point of her week? And how did she feel about it? What did it mean to her? What was the low point of her week? What did it mean to her? How did she feel? What does she look forward to? And what does she dread? Those four things. I figure if you know my high point, low point, look forward to and dread, and what it means to me and how I feel, you're pretty much knowing Bob at the moment. You know? You pretty much would know me. So I wonder, does God know your high point, your low point? I'm not talking about foreknowledge here. I'm talking about have you open your heart to say to God, here's where I am. Here's the high point I had this week. Here's the low point I had this week. Could be daily, could be monthly. It doesn't matter the time. What do I look forward to, God? What do I dread? Have you done that with God lately? If you do that, that's letting God love you because you're letting God in. Pretty good thing to do with other people, too. People you trust who will honor what you tell. So Jesus said, okay, you got to make yourself at home in my love. You got to share that intimacy. And the last thing he said is, anything you ask in prayer, about me, in regard to me, God will grant it. I really love the way, actually when I was here 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a box here that you put prayer requests in, or is that the evening? That's evening. Sorry. I thought that was really good, and I was sitting in my seat, and I thought about coming up to put something in it, and I thought, they're going to name that out loud. I didn't put it in there. And then I thought, Bob, you're not practicing what you preach. You didn't let that congregation love you. You didn't let God love you because you didn't put your prayer concern in. You know God prays for you? It's another scripture, but Paul said it. The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. So another way to let the love of God come into you is to say, God, here's what I want. Here's the prayer I want you to pray for me. And I guarantee you'll get to the deepest thing in you if you ask it that way. If you say it that way, here's what I want you to pray for me, and let it happen. So, Jesus said, I am your friend. Let me love you. May the Spirit help all of us do that. In these ways, or some other ways that you know how. Amen.